Alleluia, 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 Alleluia. I am the living bread that came down from heaven, says the Lord. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as Jesus had told them. And they prepared the Passover. While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take it. This is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Then after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of the Lord. One of the most important things in our faith is to make sure that what we know, the truths of the faith, descend from our head to our heart and ultimately to our knees and to our hands and our feet. There's meant to be a progression. Over the course of time, the Lord has intervened in history precisely to facilitate that type of spiritual growth. Today's feast of Corpus Christi traces it back to two interventions of the Lord in the 1200s. The first was in Belgium. He appeared in the early 1200s to this religious sister named Blessed Juliana of Mont Cornillon. He had been allowing her to see a vision most of the days of her life, which she was able to see a sun, but the sun had a black band on it. She didn't know what it meant. But finally, when the Lord began to speak to her in her prayer, she asked him. And he said, "That disc that looks like a sun is meant to be the liturgical year. And the black band points to something that's absent that I'd like to have. I would like to have a feast of my body and blood." So she went to see the local bishop. She had a wonderful reputation as a holy mystic. The local bishop was Robert of Liège, and he had an archdeacon, the one who basically ran his diocese for him, whose name was Deacon Jacques Pantaleon, explained the vision. And Bishop Robert decided to institute the feast of Corpus Christi in that diocese of Liège. That was the beginning of the feast today. Second event, which is connected, as you'll see, happened in 1263. There was a priest in Prague named Peter, and he had lost faith in the Eucharist. He hadn't lost total faith. But sometimes people can wonder how a priest experiences the Eucharist. And the greatest miracle of all happens in sinful hands. That what begins as bread and wine, we believe changes into the creator of the universe, the savior of the world. When he walked on the dirty paths of Palestine, died for us on Calvary, rose from the dead. Sometimes it's too incredible to believe. And so Peter decided to make a pilgrimage here to Rome, 840 miles. Walking 20 miles a day, it would take over a month and a half just to get here. He could have gone to a shrine closer to Prague, but he wanted to come precisely to where we are, in this lower level of the Basilica, the original Constantinian level, to pray next to the tomb of his patron, Peter. Why? Not just because he had a devotion to his namesake, but because, as we talked about the last time we were here, he sees in Peter the type of faith in the Eucharist that we all need when Jesus turned to Peter and the other apostle after he had mentioned that you have to gnaw on his flesh and drink his blood to have life. He said, "Do you also want to leave?" Peter was the one who said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." It was because Peter believed in Jesus' words that he believed in what Jesus was describing about the Eucharist. And it would all be fulfilled the next Passover when Jesus would take bread and wine, as we heard in today's gospel, totally change into his flesh and blood. So Peter came down here and he prayed for a few weeks. And nothing seemed to happen. Now his whole faith was shaken. Hadn't Jesus said, if you knocked, the door would be open. If you asked, you'd receive. If you sought, you'd find. He was asking for faith. He had made a month and a half journey just to get here. And it seemed that nothing was being given by the Lord in response. So somewhat crestfallen, he began the journey north. He was traveling in a caravan because it was safe, so that you wouldn't be attacked by bandits along the road. As it came to a Sunday, the others journeying with him knew that he was a priest. It's always nice when you have a chaplain accompany on a pilgrimage, because you don't have to try to attend Mass at 4. Sometimes when I'm at somebody's home or anything else, whenever they say, "When would you like Mass?" I say something like 12:11. Like 12:15? No. How about 12:11? Why? Because you've got a chaplain. We can do it anytime we want. So they had Father Peter with them, and they asked him to celebrate Mass, and more out of courtesy than out of faith, he said, "Sure." And he celebrated Mass at the church dedicated to St. Christina in Bolsena. And at the time we came to the Lamb of God, as he was doing the partition to put a little piece of the host in the chalice, the host began to bleed profusely. It bled all over his hands. It dripped all over the corporal. It started to drip down upon the altar. Everybody who was a pilgrim began to shriek. The pastor of St. Christina's came on over to look why everybody was screaming, and he was able to see it for himself. And Peter was weeping because his prayer made here, where we are, for faith in the Eucharist was heard, and heard in a way that not only he, but the whole church would never forget. He didn't quite know what to do. We're not really prepared for these Eucharistic miracles in seminaries when the host began to bleed all over the altar. But the pastor there at St. Christina's of Bolsena said, "Pope Urban IV is in Orvieto, just up this hill. Let's go ask him." So they sent a runner ahead to alert the Pope. Pope met them at the gate as they were bringing up the miracle. And that Pope, his baptismal name was Jacques Pantaleon, the former archdeacon there in Liège, who had been elected 2 popes later as the successor of St. Peter. He knew the prehistory of what the Lord was asking. And when Peter of Prague came up and he told the story of why he had come down here to Rome, how he had prayed for increased faith in the Eucharist, how he celebrated Mass at St. Christina, how the host began to bleed, he simply punctuated everything he was saying by saying, "Holiness, bread doesn't bleed." And so Pope Urban IV decreed that Corpus Christi, which had begun in Liège, would become a Eucharistic feast for the entire church. And a year later, St. Thomas Aquinas wrote the beautiful Eucharistic hymns, the sequence that we just heard, the Adoro Te Devote, the Panis Angelicus, 5th verse of Sacri Solemnis, the Tantum Ergo, the 5th and 6th verses of Pange Lingua. Eucharistic theology that we begin on this feast to ponder far more deeply. The Lord wanted devotion. He didn't just want intellectual faith. And that's what Corpus Christi is about. It's about devotion when we come to Mass. It's about making time for the Lord in prayer. It's about taking our Eucharistic faith out into the streets, as Pope Francis will this afternoon between St. John Lateran and St. Mary Major in a Eucharistic procession. When St. Thomas Aquinas was pondering the Eucharist in the sequence we just heard, he says a beautiful expression in Latin. Quantum potes, tantum aude. However much you can, dare to do. Whatever you can do to express your love for Jesus in the Eucharist, be bold enough to go for it. Because he goes on, not even all the praise in the world would be sufficient to say thanks. Quantum potes, tantum aude. Jesus wants this devotion. Some of you may know the story of the apparitions of the Sacred Heart to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in the 1670s. But Jesus lamented the way so many of us treated him in the Holy Eucharist. He said, "Behold the sacrament in which I have poured myself out, exhausting myself out of love. And yet," he says, "from most, I receive only indifference, irreverence, coldness, sacrilege, and scorn." And he says, "What pains me most keenly is that those consecrated to me treat me in this way." That from so many Christians, including priests and religious, the Eucharist is just a tiny little thing we do. It's not really the root and the center, the source and the summit of our life. And it matters to Jesus. He's here with us until the end of time. And he knows that for us to become fully alive in him, it's going to be the way we take seriously his presence. What does that mean at a practical level? First thing I'd really urge you to consider is daily Mass. Might not be possible for you to get to Mass every day. Work schedules, parent schedules, taxi driving, I know sometimes it can be very hard. But we should at least always have a burning hunger inside to come to daily Mass. Because can there be anything more important to do on any day than to come and be with God? Second, try to make some time for Eucharistic adoration. Pope Francis calls Eucharistic adoration the idol crusher. Because once we kneel before Jesus in the host, he says, we begin to recognize that this is really God. And all the other idols that we might have all start to disappear when we come before him. But when we don't make the time to come and pray, often we can make idols of our work or what work opens the door to. Or even to family life. Or to diversions and hobbies. To come to make time to pray with Jesus. You know, I like to say to a lot of people, different papacies, if you had a chance to spend an hour a week with St. John Paul II, or Pope Emeritus Benedict, or Pope Francis, would you take that opportunity? And most of us readily say, of course I would. Especially to talk about where we are spiritually and everything else. We have in Eucharistic adoration an opportunity to spend that hour with the Holy Father's boss. And yet sometimes we make excuses to do other things. How important it is for us to make that time for adoration. And then the third thing I'd urge is to recognize that when we receive the Lord here, we go on a Corpus Christi procession. We become living monstrances. We contain within ourselves the same Eucharist we adore on the altar. And that's supposed to change us as we go forward. We're taking the Lord with us to others so that they're able to see something in us that reminds them of him. Today the Church celebrates in other parts of the world the feast of the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And throughout the centuries, when the great saints have pondered this mystery, they've seen something. As soon as Mary received in her womb the same Jesus we're about to receive here, St. Luke tells us she went with haste to bring Jesus, essentially, to her cousin Elizabeth, to John the Baptist in the womb, to Zechariah and to others. She didn't tarry. She booked it across the hills. And little did she know when that embryonic Savior, before he had even formed the tiniest of feet within, was accompanying her, that Elizabeth would be able to say, "And who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" The Holy Spirit had moved Elizabeth to recognize that Jesus was within. After we come to Mass, we go in a similar procession. We take the same Jesus out to meet the world. May we do so with the same haste and the same joy that we see in Mary's Magnificat, because the world so much needs this gift. Quantum potes, tantum aude. Dare to do all you possibly can, and you will find that the Lord will do way more.